Listeners are advised that the information shared in this podcast does not equate to medical advice. For all queries regarding your health, medication, and treatment, please see your GP.
Welcome to the Connect Groups podcast series.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Emily Mostyn Brown, and I am the Training and Development Coordinator here at Connect Groups. I'm joined today with Michelle Robinson, who has Milas, along with her four children. I'd like to start by acknowledging the traditional owners of the land on which we meet today and are recording this podcast, the Whadjuk people of the Noongar Nation. I'd like to acknowledge their elders, past, present, and emerging, and to any listeners out there with lived experience. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you.
So why don't you start by telling us exactly what Milas is?
Milas is a mitochondrial condition. There's quite a few long words in there that are hard to say, but it basically is, it affects the whole body, being mitochondria. It is because the mitochondria provides 90% of our energy. When the mitochondria is faulty or not working properly, it starts creating problems in our body with usually our major organs such as brain, heart, lungs, kidneys, things like that. But it also creates stroke-like episodes or seizures. So that also affects your body in many ways and your brain in many ways, causing a dementia-like state. And yeah, it's something that we live with every day, but we don't think of it as different than anything else. We still get up every day and do what we do every day because it's just a part of our life, and it's been a part of our life for as long as I can remember, with my mum having it, my uncle having it. Unfortunately, they passed away young and not that long ago, and my nana having it as well. She wasn't diagnosed with Milas because at that point it wasn't, we didn't know much about it, but now we look at it, we go, hang on a minute, there was definitely some signs. Diabetes is another big one that we have. So many things that the list just goes on and on. Hearing loss, to list them all would be here for a long time. Yeah.
How rare is Milas?
So Milas is, they say between 1 to 15 people in 100,000 people that have Milas, but the mitochondria dysfunction or disease is 4,000 people. So yeah, it's not as rare as some mitochondria diseases, but it's definitely not well known about. Even the medical community is still learning a lot. A lot of medical people may not have heard of mitochondria disease, but not actually heard of Milas as such. So yeah, it's still being exposed to the world.
Yeah. So you have four beautiful children that I've had the pleasure of meeting.
Yeah.
Yep. They all have varying levels.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about your kids and their struggles?
Sure. Let's start. Who do we start with? Let's pick one. Let's start with the oldest, Desire. He is 15. He has the genetic mutation. It's not as bad as my daughter, but Isaiah does struggle with major fatigue, muscle fatigue. He gets a lot of pain with lactic acid levels surging. He loves sport. He is so dedicated to basketball and he trains so hard, but it does create fatigue and pain afterwards. When he was in year six and year seven, he was suffering a lot of pain. And I was, at the school, I taught at the school that he was at. And the teachers used to come to me and say, he's in pain again, he's on the floor, he's crying. And I would be the mum and go, oh no, he's just got a test coming up or he doesn't like the subject he's doing. Just tell him to suck it up and move on. But they actually had to pull me aside and go, no, a 13-year-old boy doesn't cry in front of his mates on the floor in pain, he cannot move. And it got to the point where it was so bad we didn't know what to do. We were going to take him to emergency and try to figure it out, and But unfortunately, the doctor's like, look, yeah, we can't see anything wrong. You know, he just needs to get some rest. But we now know that his lactic acid was so high that it was creating major muscle pain because he was doing a lot of sport. We were told that he may not be able to do sport anymore because exercise intolerance is one of the things that happen. But he was so determined to just push through and play basketball. He wanted to make state championships for basketball and wobble. And through his, to his credit, he made it, especially on tryouts were so hard for him. He was in so much pain and not feeling well because his immunity is quite low. But, our faith just got us through with that, with just knowing that, God was in control. And the coach saw him and couldn't believe how much energy he had, and he made it. So that's Isaiah. And then there's Levi, all four children have ADHD, and the three boys have autism. So that's something that they share, which is a part of the, which is now confirmed a part of MELAS. But Levi has ADHD and severe autism. He is very hypermobile. He struggles with executive functioning. He has severe headaches a lot. He really struggles with learning. He loves sport as well, and he's good at basketball as well. He's been playing state and wobble as well. So again, he also just really perseveres with anything that he's going through. He suffers major fatigue with the headaches as well. That doesn't help. But fatigue is definitely one of the big areas that we all suffer. And then there's I'll go Nathan and jump down to Nathan, who's my six-year-old. We haven't noticed any major signs or symptoms with him. He has got autism and ADHD. He's a quirky boy. He's a gorgeous boy, and he has lots of stories to tell. And I think being the youngest, he looks up to his oldest brothers and tries to be like them. So he's not so much, he does get headaches occasionally and fatigue. He sleeps a lot. We could say that he's 6 years old, so that's why. But he sleeps probably more than most six-year-olds sleep. And then there's Geordie, who is 11. She is the one that suffers the most. So she's the one that goes to hospital a lot for a lot of appointments. She's had, 1 year she had three little operations, and it took it out of her. Her symptoms are quite long, from headaches to reoccurring vomiting, to leg spasms, to memory loss, major gastrointestinal issues, which my other boys have as well. She seems to have it more, which is not fun because we live in a one bathroom house with six of us, so we really have to help her with that. What else? She's got major muscle fatigue and weakness. The fatigue for Geordie is intense. So we came here a couple of days ago for the morning to meet you all, and we got home and she had to sleep the rest of the afternoon. And yesterday her tummy just played up, that she just really, really struggled most of the day with pain and her tummy. So many things with Geordie. She's amazing, and she just pushes through and she just accepts it, which is something else. But we watch her and we go, okay, there's something not quite right, we can see. Or her speech is very, I think they call it speech delay, but her brain and her muscles don't work together. So she struggles to speak, and when she's tired, she'll just faint unexpectedly, and she has anaphylactic issues. So there's just, I think the list goes on and on, but at the same time, it's just life for us. It's just normal. So when people ask to explain it, I go, hang on, let me think about it, because we just trudge along, and that's a good thing, I think.
Geordie's also an amazing artist.
Yes,
photographer. Yep. And drawing and painting.
She loves painting, loves drawing, loves photography, loves art and craft, anything like that. She's a little, I call her our little wildlife warrior. She's always rescuing any type of bug, spider, animal that she can. She's got a little cuddly farm out the backyard with animals, and yeah, she just loves going and sketching them or painting them afterwards, and she loves watching little documentaries to learn about the animals that she wants to paint and things like that. So she's definitely, yeah, got a keen interest in saving all the animals we possibly can.
Nice. Geordie is affected much more than the boys. Is that due to anything with it affecting females more than males, or it's just luck of the draw?
No, the disease is not biased at all in that state. In that sense, it's not biased in any way. It can affect anyone, anywhere. Geordie just, got the highest percentage. Funny enough, though, well, in actual fact, Nathan actually has the mutation percentage higher than Geordie. But it doesn't actually really matter what percentage your mitochondria is affected. It's depending on whether or not you've had a what they call an episode or something to make it, I guess, or trigger it off. For example, like Levi has celiac disease as well, so something there, like maybe his immunity was low or something, and it triggered off the celiac. It's the same with Mila. Something triggered off an event to create Geordie's issues. And a few years ago, Geordie had a little friend. They were just inseparable, and he passed away with cancer, and it really impacted her. And a few months later, she was very quiet and still, and a few months later, actually on Easter weekend, she just started vomiting, she started passing out, she couldn't sit up, she couldn't do anything, she couldn't speak, and that's where we believe triggered everything off for her. We took her to the hospital and they just said she had a virus. And we took her to a doctor and they said, oh, it's okay, she's just got a bug, gastro bug, she'll be fine, give her a couple of days. But she just, it was terrible. She was just, it took her a long time to get over it, and we just kept trying to find a doctor. But I did mention that we did have this mitochondria condition, but that was never taken into consideration, which was hard. So we just knew something wasn't right, and it took some time, like a few months. And in that time, we were also getting Levi diagnosed with autism, and the pediatrician sent him off for genetic testing for some other things. And as I was sharing with the geneticist at PCH, this is our family background, and he kind of stopped and looked and went, Bright, you need to bring your children in now. We need to get them tested. And he's actually the one that got the ball rolling, and he referred Geordie to the neurologist at PCH, and the neurologist has been great with her nurse. She's been really watching her and just put her on what they call a mito cocktail, which gives it like lots of supplements and vitamins to give it energy. And that's where it's been at. But she's been looked after, and as much as she says she doesn't like going to the hospital because it's annoying, they've been very helpful. Yeah.
You were saying to me earlier that XYY syndrome is actually how you guys came to here, which if any of you haven't listened, we have a podcast about that as well. And it was that association of the autism and ADHD. Do you want to expand on that a bit more for the audience?
Yeah, so with Levi, it took a long time for it. I kept being told, Levi needs to be assessed for autism and ADHD, and it took me a long time, I guess. Also teaching, I just didn't want to accept that, and I just really wanted to try help him as much as I could. But finally I agreed to the assessment, and the pediatrician said, okay, look, he has got severe autism, but what we do is we send him off for genetic testing for other issues, such as the XYY syndrome, and I think Fragile X, there was a couple in there. Sorry, it was a while ago, so I've forgotten. So we went to, and that's how it all started. We went to the geneticist, and originally we were only going for that test for Levi, but it became much more, and he was great. And we call him the doctor that sits on his hands, because that's what Levi noticed about him. And it was great, because he actually, I felt for the first time in, this, we've been going on with Geordie for a while now, like we kept saying there was something not right. And I think he was the first doctor that actually, I felt, listened and heard what we had to say. Usually when you say mitochondria or myelas or any, or like the family has a history, it was just getting brushed under the table. But yeah, he heard us and yeah, we're very grateful to him that he got the ball rolling, so to speak, and yeah, through this condition, which we knew nothing about, by the way, as well. So yeah,
that's great. Yeah. Is there anything else that you want to let people know about myelas or your family?
I guess the tricky thing with myelas is, like, even myself, which I tend not to talk about, I have it too, and I do have symptoms of myelas, but I guess when you're a mum of four, and I was working full time, I was teaching, I didn't want to acknowledge or admit that, you know, I was actually hurting or suffering with a few things, and I needed help. But also with Geordie falling ill, trying to work full time, you know, as much as my school that I worked at, big shout out to them at Beachborough Christian, as much as they were very accommodating and helpful, I just knew that I couldn't keep working because we were at more appointments than I was teaching, and you know, they very much, yeah, tried to accommodate, but it does impact your life every day. It does impact how you do things. So, you know, we knew that on Tuesday we had a big day, so we knew the day before we had to rest, and we know the day after we have to rest. So I guess those things make it challenging when people look at us and go, but you don't look sick, or, you know, that's, I think the biggest thing we hear a lot is, oh, she doesn't look sick, or she doesn't look tired. Geordie's very good at putting on a front as well, and so are my boys for that matter. If they want to do something, they will push through to the nth degree where it actually exhausts them for a couple of weeks, you know, because they want to be a part of the group and they want to be included. And I'm sitting in the background freaking out, knowing what it's going to do for the rest of the week. And I'm thinking, well, because we homeschool, we've got schoolwork to do and we've got to get this done. And, oh, gee, hang on, we've got another thing here. But I think that's the biggest thing. And with it impacting our lives every day, we have, I don't want it to be a complaint because it's not a complaint. We're so grateful for the support we've got with, you know, OT and physio, with speech therapy, with the hospital. We've got lots of therapies. So we've got people constantly coming in and out of our house, and we're constantly going to places. I think Levi mentioned at one point that, yeah, he was falling behind at school because he was even going to more appointments with things. So as much as we're grateful for all of it, it does, yeah, it's very time consuming because we want the children to do the very best they can and have the best opportunity they can. But yeah, it is invisible. You don't see it, and we are good at hiding it.
You do have a beautiful family, and when you guys came the other day, we could all see the love. Like, just how you all, like, interact with
sure,
each other.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
stop
you get four
the nose,
kids.
Yeah. The nose.
It's typical 6-year-old.
Yeah.
But seeing, like, the boys, you know, you can have four kids, yeah, and they could all be at each other's throats. I had a sister,
yeah,
and we were at each other's throats all the time.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you can tell, even
yeah,
in just, like, the discussions that, you know, they do, they're siblings, but there is a very
yeah,
strong bond and love.
And they know that Geordie is not well, so if things have to stop, they stop. It's hard for the older boys, especially because they're at the point where they're teenagers and they want to be social and they want to go out with their friends, and I just go, sorry, not today, Geordie's not feeling well, or, you know, I just can't get you there, I've got to stay with Geordie, you know, that, so that's hard for them, but they totally embrace that. Don't get me wrong, we have meltdowns most days, we have arguments most days, and there are things that, you know, the poor neighbours must, I don't know what they must think sometimes when we're yelling and screaming at each other. So it's not all roses in our family at all. But yeah, they're very understanding. So yeah, I think a lot of people are hurting and suffering, and they might not see it. Not just us, but many people in the world, you know, and what it's caused. You know, I've seen my mum go through it, and the last 2 years of her life were horrible. And my uncle, like, he had major mental health issues with it as well. So, you know, I think it's just being aware of the situation, that there's more than just life going on there. We sleep a lot because we need it, not because we didn't go to bed late the night before or anything like that. So it's just, I guess, more of an awareness thing than anything. I don't think there's anyone in WA that has myelas as such, but I'm sure there's many people that have different forms of mitochondria disease. So yeah, it would be, we're just very grateful that Connect Group can help us, I guess, share with people that, yeah, this mitochondria issue is out there.
So I feel very lucky to be able to share with you guys, with the world, and everything that's going on through the role that I play here. And that's the one thing that I've been discovering is the number of people who do, as you say, suffer in silence.
Yeah.
And that's why we do this. And that's why Michelle and her family are a part of our Rare Disease Day Expo as well, which is photographs of people with rare genetic and undiagnosed conditions to help inform the general public about these things, so that we, I guess, the people who don't have conditions such as yours accept and understand more. And just the way, I guess, people approach you and things like that, that it's done with that respect and care. Well, thank you so much for coming. And again, your family is beautiful and lovely, and we really enjoyed having them here. Tuesday, it was the other day they were here.
Yes, that's right.
If you would like to learn more about Michelle and her family, please feel free to stop by our expo, which will be held here in Applecross from February 24th until March 2nd. And if you need any more information on Milos, I know that you can contact the Mito Foundation.
Yes, that's I was meant to mention them, the Mito Foundation. They've been great too. And a big shout out to PCH and the specialists that are being helpful. I did want to mention that. Sorry, thank you.
Thank you so much for coming. It's lovely seeing you again.
Thank you very much.